Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace. I'm Pastor Brett Walker. At Hudson, we have started a Wednesday night contemporary worship service. In this message, the first preached at the Wednesday night service, we look at what forgiveness is and how it heals, not just the forgiven, but the forgiver as well. It's been said that holding on to anger is like taking poison and waiting for the other person to die. When we offer forgiveness, we free ourselves from the shackles of anger and resentment. So grab your Bible, turn it to Matthew chapter 18, and join us as we look at freedom in forgiveness. This is my message tonight, freedom in forgiveness. Freedom in forgiveness. Forgiveness, we've sang about it. We just sang a song called Forgiveness by Matthew West. And that song tells a story. It tells a story about a woman whose son was murdered. Her son was murdered. And she sat in that courtroom with her son's murderer. And she forgave him. She forgave him. It's unfathomable. It's hard for us to understand, to comprehend that that level of forgiveness is even possible. But that's what we are called to. That's what we are called to as Christians. And I say that we are called to that kind of forgiveness because that's the forgiveness that Christ modeled for us. Christ came to forgive. He tells us a story in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. He tells us a story. Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Peter thought he was being cheeky. He thought he was going out of his way. Seven times? It's unthinkable. Why, even the prophet Joel said, three times, no, four times you shall be forgiven. So he says, I'm going to go above and beyond that and say seven times. Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Some translations say seven times 70. It's just a number. What he's trying to say is, we're not supposed to count how many times we forgive. And then he says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. And since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. Just think about that. He canceled a debt of 10,000 bags of gold. It wasn't a small debt. It wasn't a dollar. It wasn't $10 or even $100. He canceled an enormous debt. Millions of dollars in our economy. But, verse 28, but when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. Very familiar words. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. And when the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged. and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. And this is how my heavenly Father, said Jesus, will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. And this is the word of God. This is the word of God. Jesus is telling his disciples the importance of forgiveness. But what he doesn't mention is that forgiveness is something that is more healing to the forgiver than to the forgiving. There is freedom in forgiveness. You know, we hear this all the time. Forgive and forget. Forgive and forget. But in today's world, we hear, we will never forget. Do we remember where we were September 11th, 2001? Do we remember where we were? I was working at the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, when the first plane hit the building. We were in a security briefing, and they were talking to us about cyber criminals. The New Jersey State Police were there, and they were talking to us about hackers. And we have planes flying into the buildings. We had no idea what was going on, even the FAA. And when the plane went missing in Pennsylvania, they thought it was flying low on the radar, and they thought it was targeting the center in Atlantic City, because at that time, somebody in their infinite wisdom decided that all the radar systems in the Northeast should be tied in to Pomona. And if they had taken out just that one installation, the whole East Coast would have been blind. They evacuated the center as much as they could. 5,000 employees all trying to drive out a single driveway. It took me like 2 hours to get out. And as we were trying to get out, they were grounding flights. So we had these jets flying overhead. And every time there was a jet flying overhead, I'm thinking, is that the one that they're missing? We didn't know. I'm listening to the radio. The radio didn't know anything. Can't forget this day. We will never forget, we say. But at the root of that saying is another. We will never forgive. We will never forgive what happened. We still think about it. We still think about what happened that day. We still, every September 11th, we still wonder, is today the day they're going to hit us again? We're expecting it. We live in fear. We have never healed from this. Because as a nation, we really have not forgiven. But where were you on October 2nd, 2006? Do you remember that day? A man named Charles Roberts walked into this schoolhouse in Nickel Mines in Amish country, Pennsylvania. Shot 11 girls, killed 5 of them, and then took his own life. Unbelievable, unspeakable tragedy. The difference between October 2nd, 2006 and September 11th, 2001 is this was not a nationwide thing. But to the Amish, who lost their little girls, it was the same. It was worse. It hit them at home. But what could they do? I'll tell you something about the Amish. The Amish live in the book of Matthew. They live in the book of Matthew. And they read this passage that we read today that says, don't forgive your brother 7 times, but 77 times. Or in other translations, 70 times 7. Just keep forgiving. Forgive. 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 For them, forgiveness is automatic. It's automatic. It's a knee-jerk reaction. And so, when there was a funeral for the murderer, Charles Roberts, there were 70 people at that funeral. And over half of them were Amish. Over half of the people at his funeral were Amish. They stood arm in arm with his widow to support her, to love her, to forgive her, to forgive this man who took their daughters from them. And the ones he didn't kill, he took their innocence. Their world was shattered. And yet, there was no hesitation between loss and forgiveness. Because they've seen it modeled. They've seen it modeled in our Lord. What does it mean to forgive? What does it mean to forgive? Forgiveness is not excusing the wrong. Forgiveness acknowledges that there was a wrong. But forgiveness does not hold that wrong against the person. Forgiveness acknowledges that there is a wrong. There is a wrong. But it does not hold that wrong against the person. Jesus gave us these words in a prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We say to God, forgive us as we have forgiven others. This is in Matthew chapter 6. Again, the Amish live in Matthew. Matthew is full of forgiveness. Forgiveness allows for healing. Holding on to anger is like taking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Holding on to anger is like taking poison and waiting for the other person to die. When we don't let go of those things, when we hold on to those things and don't forgive, it's like a cancer inside of us. It's like a burning ember. And it eats us from the inside out. We wear it on our face. We wear it in our body language. People know that there is something weighing on us. They can tell. Forgiveness offers us healing. When we offer forgiveness, we are healed from within. Jesus modeled this forgiveness on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. When I was a kid, I always thought that he was talking about the people who were nailing him to the cross, and he may have been. But today, I think he's talking about me. I think he's talking about all of us. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. How often in this world, which is broken, how often do we sin without even thinking about it, without even realizing that we do it? You know, how many times have we ever, like the phone rings and you know, I used to do this with my daughter all the time. My daughter would pick up the phone. Hello? Yeah. Oh, you're my dad's boss? And I'd be like, And she go, oh, no, no, he's not here right now. He just stepped out. What am I teaching my daughter? What am I teaching my daughter? Besides the fact that I don't want to talk to my boss. But, you know, what am I teaching her? I'm teaching her to lie. You know, in this world, we take sin just so casually. We don't know what we're doing. So Jesus said this, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. It wasn't just for his captors, it was for us as well. And it wasn't just for that moment, it was for all eternity. All eternity. Forgiveness is why Jesus came. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's why Jesus came. Jesus was sent into the world to live as a man. He knew no sin, but he became sin for us and nailed our sin to the cross. Nailed it to the cross. John 3:16 is a great verse. The next verse, though, John 3:17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world should be saved through him. It's why Jesus came. Jesus came to forgive. It was his mission to forgive all of us. And that's why when he hung on a cross, he said those words, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Romans 3:23, you know, says, all have sinned. All have sinned. And have fallen short of the glory of God. We all deserve the punishment, the wrath of God. And yet, Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. Wage is what you earn from work. We labor at sin, we earn death. But, the verse finishes, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. The gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. We earn death, but God gives us a gift, eternal life, through His Son. Romans 5:8 says that God's love was demonstrated to us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to get our acts together. He didn't wait for us to turn our lives around. So often we wait to come to church. I know I did for years because I didn't think I was good enough. But God doesn't call us when we're good. Jesus didn't come to save the righteous. He came to save the sinners. He came to offer forgiveness for all. And God's love is demonstrated in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's a simple thing. All we have to do is to believe. Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. It's that simple. It's that simple. We are justified through the cross of Jesus Christ. We are justified. And justification is perfect forgiveness. It's perfect forgiveness because it's just as if I'd never sinned. It's just as if I'd never sinned. God takes that debt, those 10,000 bags of gold, and cancels it. Cancels it. The question then remains, do we then, as like the wicked servant, go out and hold things against our fellow brothers and sisters? Do we hold on to anger? Or do we forgive as we have been forgiven? I want to ask you tonight, is there something that you need to let go of? Is there some forgiveness that you owe someone? Something that you haven't forgiven? Think of all that you have been forgiven by God. And if there's something that you're holding on to tonight, my prayer is that you let it go and forgive. Forgiveness is healing. Forgiveness is letting go of that ember. Forgiveness is love and life, and it's what Jesus modeled for us on the cross. So if you have something that you're holding on to, and I'll confess tonight that I have forgiveness that I need to give. I have forgiveness that I need to give. You don't have to speak it out loud. You know it. You know what it is in your heart. Let it go. Offer it up to God, and He will take it. Let God take it from right here and right now. Let's pray. Lord God, we come to forgive as we have been forgiven. We know that your prayer says that we want you to forgive us the way we've forgiven others. But we're holding on to something right now, Lord, and we need to let it go. So we offer it to you. We offer it to you to take it from us, to allow us to stand upright and breathe again. Lord, take this burden from us. You said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Give us rest now, Lord. And as we go from this place, let us not carry this unforgiveness into the world, but let us go from this place free from the shackles, holding on to that resentment and anger. Free us, Lord, so that we may go into the world and be your love, and be your joy, and be your peace. And all these things we ask in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. If you live in the Salem County area, you can join us in person. Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn holds its worship service every Sunday at 9 a.m. And Hudson United Methodist Church in Pettertown holds its worship service at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. If our message has touched you in some way, won't you let us know in the comments? We hope you'll join us again for Guerrilla Christianity. God bless you.